Welcome to Christian Worship at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We gather together on this Maundy Thursday and follow the order of worship contained in your service folder. Our opening hymn is hymn 445, When You Woke That Thursday Morning, hymn 445. We stand for our invocation and reading of Psalm 143. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit,
Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer, listen to my cry for mercy. Do not bring your servant into judgment. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. So my spirit grows faint within me. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works. I spread out my hands to you. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit faints with longing. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, since you have left us a memorial of your passion in a wonderful sacrament, grant, we pray, that we may so use this sacrament of your body and blood that the fruits of your redeeming work may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. The Old Testament reading appointed for this Maundy Thursday is recorded in the 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, "All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do." And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen to the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he threw against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do, and we will be obedient." And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God and ate and drank. This is the word of our Lord. We speak responsively the gradual. Christ entered the most holy place once for all.
By his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption.
He is the mediator of a new covenant.
And those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance.
He provided redemption for his people. The epistle reading is recorded in the 9th chapter of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This is the word of our Lord. We sing as our hymn of hope, hymn 422, "On My Heart Imprint Your Image," hymn 422. Stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 26th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where will you have us prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" And the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and as they were eating, he said, "Truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were very sorrowful, and began to say to him one after another, "Is it I, Lord?" He answered, "He who has dipped his hand in the dish with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." Judas, who would betray him, answered, "Is it I, Rabbi?" He said to him, "You have said so." Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise.
We join together in the common confession of our Christian faith. We make use of the words of the Nicene Creed. They are printed for us on the inside back cover of our hymnals.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen. You may be seated. We sing as our hymn of the day, hymn 718, Jesus Lead Thou On, hymn 718. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God, our Heavenly Father, from our suffering, dying, and rising Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon meditation as we continue our series from the book of Revelation to Him Who Overcomes is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13, printed for you in your worship folder. Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of the Holy One, the True One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world, to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have, so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We know of Philadelphia as being the city of brotherly love. Our Philadelphia is known for the Liberty Bell, Independence Hall, and very abusive sports fans. But this famous city in Pennsylvania is not the one receiving this letter. This is the biblical city located in Western Asia Minor, or today the nation of Turkey. It is a large city with a small Christian congregation. It is a prosperous area with poor Christian people. It is the center of worship to the Greek god of wine, Dionysus. And yet it has few people who worshiped the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. What is said of Christians in this city of Philadelphia around the year AD 100 can also be said of us, Christians in the United States of America today. Jesus will protect and he will preserve us as we keep his word and do not deny his name. Jesus describes his people in this Philadelphia as having little strength. They are small in number, not wealthy or influential at all. Yet they are holding on to the greatest power of all, Christ's revealed word of the Holy Bible and the teaching of the Christian faith. We today have our own times of little strength. Our bodies wear out because of age and illness. Physical death threatens us. We see our children and our grandchildren going the wrong way in life, and we feel powerless to correct their errors. Our elected officials do not listen to our viewpoint. We are not enough of a voting bloc to carry weight with them. We do not have enough money to get whatever we want, and we are not influential enough to have our way with others. We have little strength to be a force for good and right in a world where there is so much that is bad and wrong. We may also think that we have little strength to resist when unbelievers pressure us to deny our Savior Jesus. In our text, Jewish opposition to the Christians in Philadelphia was strong. Jesus, in fact, calls them the synagogue of Satan. These untrue Jews put tremendous pressure upon Christians to reject Jesus of Nazareth as being God's promised Messiah. Well, every day and in many ways, we too are pressured by others to deny the triune God who has claimed us as his own in holy baptism. Our sinful nature tells us to trust in ourselves to earn God's favor by the good works that we think we do. Those around us expect us to reject the will of God for our lives in order to go along with the selfish ways of the world.
Our culture forces us to act and to talk in ways that cover or hide our Christian faith so that others cannot tell that we belong to Jesus Christ. Well, in the face of this pressure, the greatest power of all is just as available to us as it was to these Christians 1900 years ago. That is Christ's revealed word. That is his gospel promises of our forgiveness and salvation. That is the Holy Spirit's presence in the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Well, these words to the Christians in that ancient city of Philadelphia are really just a sample of the entire book of Revelation. Jesus is our victorious champion. Jesus has won the war over sin and death and the power of the devil. And at the end of this world's time, we will share in his total victory. In our text, Jesus says that the hour of trial is coming. And yes, indeed, troubles will come upon this world, and they will increase in their intensity until Jesus returns. In the Old Testament, God spared the Israelites from the worst of the plagues that he sent upon Egypt. He also will protect his people from the terrors of the end times. And then Jesus will come again, and he will do so in all of his great glory. He will then gather us, reunited in body and soul, to his side for our entry into eternal life. At that time, unbelieving skeptics and opponents will have to acknowledge what we have confessed all along. They will see that we have been right in our confession that Jesus is the Son of God, the Savior of the world, who loves us. Well, another promise that Jesus makes in this passage is that he has placed before us an open door. But what does he mean by that? It could be an opportunity for mission work. There are many in our world who do not yet know of Jesus as their Savior from sin. Or this open door could also be our gateway to eternal life. Both of these suggestions fit the description of this door as being one that no one can shut. Until Jesus returns, we always will have chances to share his gospel with people who do not yet believe in him. And the open door to heaven that Jesus has earned for us by his life, death, and resurrection is a gift from God that no one can take away from us. The third promise that Jesus gives us here in this text is that he will make us pillars in God's temple. In ancient Philadelphia, the citizens who served the city in outstanding ways were honored with a pillar that was set up in the temple. Well, an earthquake early in the first century AD caused the people to flee from this city in fear. This earthquake flattened many buildings in Philadelphia, including its main temple. Only the pillars there remained upright. And those stone columns symbolized for them what is lasting and permanent. Much like those pillars on the campus of the University of Missouri in Columbia that are left from the one building that burned. To be pillars in God's temple is Jesus' promise that we will stand forever in God's heavenly and visible presence. Well, the pillars in Philadelphia's temple were inscribed with names of heroic citizens. Our names were given to us by our parents at our birth, and we live this life with that name upon us. Well, in our holy baptism, God places his triune name upon us, that of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This name means that we belong to the Creator who made us, to the Savior who died for us, and to the Spirit who dwells within us. The new name that Jesus promises to us in this passage includes the name of the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city of our God. We belong there also, for we are citizens of this eternal kingdom. We will not need our earthly names there. We can leave those names behind on our tombstones. Well, as with the other letters in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, Jesus ends this one with the refrain, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." On this night that we observe his Last Supper, his betrayal, and his arrest, Jesus is present for us here in the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. And there he speaks to us a very familiar refrain, "This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." We who have the Spirit-given ears of faith, let us hear and receive the blessings that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again gives to us this night. In his name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in our Lord and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. At this time, as we welcome forward our offering, I invite you to stand as we will join in the singing of the offertory as printed in your worship folder. Confession to God our Father. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, as a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them, repent of them, and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive me my sins and give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. Through his Holy Spirit, he cleanses us and gives us power to proclaim the mighty deeds of God, who called us out of darkness into the splendor of his light. As a called and ordained minister of Christ's church, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on this night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins.
This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
You may be seated. Thank you. We stand as we join in our post-communion prayer. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Almighty God, through the sacrificial death of your Son, you atoned for the sins of the whole world, and in him you reconciled the world to yourself, not counting our trespasses against us. Receive our humble thanks for this precious gift of salvation, by which you comfort and console our troubled hearts. Strengthen our faith that we may receive your forgiveness and be at peace. We remain standing as we sing our closing hymn, There Is a Green Hill Far Away. God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? From the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him. He has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. For him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. We join together in the Gloria Patri. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.